UTA Radio.
UTA Radio.
Radio. UTA.
UTA Radio.
Idaat UTA.
.com.
If you grew up watching late-night talk shows, you've seen Jack Hanna introducing America and wary TV hosts to an array of wild animals. His appearances and four-decade career at the Columbus Zoo sought to educate viewers and visitors about the creatures we share the earth with, a message he brought to UTA for a Maverick Speakers event. Jack, you're still doing stuff at the Columbus Zoo, is that correct?
Yeah, 42 years.
That 40th yep. anniversary, or 42 years, that was as of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, so maybe I'm 41 now, going forward or something. I can't remember all the years, but yeah, it's been there a long time. Been, you know, in the animal world, traveling the world, filming TV series of animals. So I've been very blessed because as a little boy in Tennessee on our farm, my dream was to be a zookeeper because I worked as a veterinarian when I was 15 years old. He took care of the zoo animals, and I said, I'm going to be a zookeeper someday. High school, college, people made fun of me and everything. Said, oh, Jack, you'll be cleaning up animals. I said, yeah. So that's what my dream was. Is to, I very seldom share this story for some reason. I'm talking about it right now with you, but that's how I got started, cleaning cages, and then, you know, did all this stuff at the Knoxville, Tennessee Zoo, then went to Columbus, Ohio, where I still am for 40 years, and took over that zoo, and then the TV stuff just started because we had twin gorillas for the first time in the world happened at the Columbus Zoo, and then you know, I don't know, Letterman must have seen it or something. So I did Good Morning America for 30 years and Letterman for 31 years, and that's all what I did.
And the rest is history, as they say. And 42 years, does it seem like it just went by in the blink of an eye?
Yeah, it sure did. It went very fast, and I traveled the world filming the TV series. But I was raised on a farm, and all I wanted to be as a little boy, because I went to the zoo when I was 12 years old, 14, to see the animals with the veterinarian, and I said I want to be a zookeeper someday. That's what I did, live my dream.
Well, you're going to be at UTA tonight speaking to our Maverick crowd. And what's the message you'd like to get across to our students and faculty?
Well, I just explained to the students that, you know, people get up and do negativity and speeches and stuff, and I'm not going to do that. Yes, we have, you know, situations around the world with the animals and with people, by the way. But the main problem is a lot of these places is overpopulation, period. You know, animals have to have room and people have to have room. And in Texas, you do a tremendous job here. Florida does a great job because of all the people, especially pouring into Florida. And I, you know, come to Texas every once in a while, and it's a beautiful, actually, you've got one of the finest states in the country when it comes to wildlife. It's a big place, obviously, and they've done a great job here. And so that's what, you know, some other places throughout the world I go to, they don't have what we have. And, you know, some of the conservation things don't really happen there because these people have hunted for years and also have had to have eat food for years, and you can't go in there and just say, hey, you can't do this to this animal or that or anything else. I'm not poaching. I'm talking about people who have to live off the animals, and
right.
A lot of them do it correctly, a lot of them don't.
So what is the, in your mind, the answer for having a man and animal live together and have animals have enough space? Do we enforce more regulation? Do we devote an entire state as a wildlife preserve? What would work?
That's, you know, you're pretty good at this. You take people, like, especially Texas, obviously, the size you guys are here, you know, you're one of the top states in the United States as far as where your wildlife is. And believe it or not, Florida being just, you know, a lot of people go to Florida, but I must hand it to those game and fish guys, too. They do a great job there. And, of course, Texas is bigger, but in Florida, they've done a great job because they let subdivisions go in and things like that. And the guys that do that, if they take some land, there might be with animals. They'll buy some land where animals can just jump over to it. So Florida does a great job in the type of wildlife they still have. And, you know, it's tough in California because of several things there. I don't really know what all of them would be. But, you know, Texas does a great job. Florida does. And several other states do a great job with the wildlife, especially here. So you just have to be careful where you might build something. But, you know, everybody's pretty good today in certain states.
What, in your mind, or have you seen this firsthand, the effect of global warming on the animal population?
Yeah, you know, I've not seen a lot of, you know, yes, with certain types of birds and fish, yeah, you do see it. Well, some of the other animals, you know, there's no doubt there's some warming, yes, but I'm not going to sit here and say the whole world's going to pop because of that. The problem, as I just said, is overpopulation, period.
Yeah.
But, you know, it takes the, yes, a lot of the water gets too hot for certain types of animals in the water, especially some of the birds and things like that. But we just have to, you know, realize that, you know, some of the animals, as long as you have to build something or something, make sure the animal has a place to go to, you know, that you can't just go in there and, you know, do certain things. My dad was a realtor, a person that built a few little neighborhoods in Tennessee, nothing really big. But he always did look out for the animals here. Left a lot of extra ground there around houses, and that can be done, that kind of thing.
All right, and I understand that tonight you're going to have some friends join you from the Dallas Zoo. Who's going to be up on stage with you?
Well, the animal people will be up there, but the neat thing about them, they'll have a cheetah, which is the world's fastest land mammal. They also have, by the way, which you don't see very often, the African crested porcupine and the prehensile tail porcupine, which are two different ones. They're still the same thing. A tamanduan, which is a different type of animal, I'll let you see that. And then I love owls, by the way. You're going to see several different species of those. You're going to see a few reptiles, a dwarf crocodile, which is very rare, a huge tortoise, by the radiated tortoise, and then a sloth. And there'll be some great animals. And also, what I'll be showing, I usually do some of my TV series we've done, I don't know how many of them, as far as, I mean, TV shows, not the series of Letterman, Good Morning America, all that stuff, but I'm talking about the speeches I do around the country and the ones that I filmed for my national TV show. I take clips from them. For example, I'll have one right about barely asleep where I actually found a cave in Colorado, and I was with a researcher and a game and fish guy, and he went down into the cave. Sure enough, they found a mother bear with a baby. The video is just, you know, it's unbelievable, one of the most incredible sights I've seen. We also have another little video of elephant orphans where they were, I'm sorry to say, way back when it's gotten a lot better. This was done about 15 years ago where there were a lot of elephant orphans. A lady took over because the elephants were, a lot of them were poached back then. This was about 15 years ago, and I filmed her with these baby elephants. And also another one, I may do the Great Migration, which is a wonder of the world. I finally filmed it last year, filmed it. And there's, 7 million of animals, million, zebra, and these animals, it's amazing, the two species, how they all come across the river, 7 million at one time, because it's raining north 300 miles. Isn't that amazing? It's raining up there, and all these millions of animals come in the Great Migration. And then we also have the one that everybody likes. It's hard for me to watch it. It's called a blooper tape, where, a giraffe eats my hair, a camel kisses his tongue on my face. Then a huge ostrich. I was helping a veterinarian, and the ostrich kicked me in the, you know where,
yeah,
private place, and just knocked me out at the hospital. Everybody laughed at that. I laugh now, but I didn't laugh then. So you'll see a blooper tape at the end that people just, they go nuts over.
You've worked with animals for so long, and I would assume, just by doing your job, that maybe some of these animals are like your kids, but if you had to choose a favorite animal, one you really enjoy working with, which one would it be?
My wife, Susie. Yeah, she's a mammal. She's not here, but, you know, anyway. No, I've been married 50 years this year, so.
Congratulations.
I've always worked with animals. Oh, thank you. But when you work with animals, as I tell people, you have to have a big word called respect. And that's what I do in filming in Africa, Asia, under the oceans of the world. You have to respect the wildlife. And sometimes some people film and try and get closer and closer and closer, make the animals run. Make them all stirred up. We don't do that when we filmed our show for 31. We try and film the animals where they have their distance, where they don't start putting their ears up or running, because it's their home, you know, and you have to respect their home. So that's how I've done most of my filming over many, many years. And, you know, I still love seeing animals all over the world, but also seeing zoos all over the world. Now, by the way, last night I was at the Dallas Zoo. I've been to that zoo, you won't believe this, 25 to 30 years ago I came here. And I go back there last night to do a benefit for them, and I'm going to tell you something. People live in Dallas should be beyond very proud of that zoo you have. Unbelievable.
You mentioned how you grew up wanting to be a zookeeper, and that's not something we hear of a lot when you talk to a young person these days. Are you seeing that there's still an interest in people coming up wanting to get into your profession?
Yeah, you know something, I really do. You know, I'm not the CEO of the zoo anymore. I'm based out there, but I hired some guys that do have run the zoo. But back when I was, I haven't done it. I wasn't not the CEO of the zoo, but I'm based out of Columbus. Let's say I started, my gosh, it's been 40 years I've been to Columbus Zoo. So let's say 40 years ago when I first started, I went to the zoo there, and people, actually, I knew I was going to be a zookeeper when I was in high school. After I finished cleaning cages as a young boy in college, people made fun of me all over the place, and people that knew me said, why in the world are you going to clean up crap and everything, Jack, for God's sakes, being a zoo? What are you talking about? That had nothing to do with it. You know, yes, I cleaned and cleaned cages, yes. But right now, in the zoological world, you'll not believe it. We get clobbered by people that just, young people who want to work at the zoo and just don't have the places for it. A lot of people understand what zoological parks are today. I mean, look at your zoo. I saw it 25, 30 years ago, same as Columbus. I mean, you wouldn't even want to go to the place.
Yeah.
No one, by the way, no one was mistreating animals at your zoo or Columbus Zoo. But I can tell you this now, the housing, yes, it was 30, 40 years ago, was mostly caging. Today, are you kidding me? These animals in most of these accredited zoos in this country are better than most people live. My gosh, look at your habitats. You have one of the top zoos in the country. I visit a lot of them around this country throughout the world. And I'm going to tell you something. Your zoo, and I might just say this because I have you on the phone, because I just say, you know, you have a great zoo. But I'm telling you, you have a phenomenal zoo. Your elephant there, for example, I think it's one of the finest elephant habitats I've seen in the country. My gosh, I was there last night watching these elephants. I thought I was in Africa. I mean, you can take pictures. You don't see big old skyscrapers and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really something that the zoological world has done in most of these zoos, and it's unbelievable.
It's amazing, and so are you, Jack. We certainly appreciate your time, and hope you have fun at the speech tonight.
Well, thank you so much, and I have my favorite animal there, my wife, 50 years.
I got it on tape.
The preceding program is a production of UTARadio.com and the Department of Communication. Thank you for listening.